crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
We might have a new contender for Game of the Year. Happy Father's Day. Wow! What a finish to this one. I've still got adrenaline flowing. Brewers win 5-4 over the Reds. They win the series. Redemption arc for Blake Perkins. Christian Yelich bunting. Willie Adames being clutch. Colin Ray special. The bullpen hammering it down. The defense, I mean, there are so many things that happened in this game with Jerry Augustine. I'm Dominic Catronio. And every single player had an impact on this game one way or another. All nine guys. I mean, the Reds used their entire bench. Both starters had deep enough games. Frankie got chased in the sixth. Ray went through six. And it's just like, I walk away from this series. We'll break down the game itself and everything. I walk away from this series, Augie. These are the two best teams in the division, and it should not be a question. I know the Cubs and the Cardinals were the preseason favorites, and everyone wants to talk about the major market teams. Cincinnati is a problem. They are a good team. Elly De La Cruz sees red whenever he plays the Brewers. And they're not healthy right now, to be fair to them. They don't have Encarnacion Strand. They're getting Noelvi Marte back from suspension. There are a lot of reasons to think that, hey, stick with the Reds. They're going to be fine. In my opinion, this series told, these are the two best teams of the division, and these are the two teams that I think nationally we should be talking about in the Central.
You know, prior to May 28th, when you saw what the Cincinnati Reds were doing, they had lost like 11 in a row or 10 in a row or something like that. They went out to the West Coast, played the Dodgers, and really stuck it to the Dodgers. You know, I watched a couple of ball games, and they played really well against. Since that time, this Cincinnati Red team, yes, they do have some injuries, has come out and really played good baseball. And that, you know what it starts with? It starts with that good young starting pitching. They have some very good young starting pitching. Pitching that's going to keep you in a ball game, and you know what they're starting to do is develop that bullpen. We talk about winning divisions; you have to have a good bullpen. We say the Brewers have a great chance to win this division. Why? They have a great bullpen, and I'll tell you what—you're seeing Cincinnati kind of doing the same thing, swinging the bat a little bit better at times, scoring some runs if when they have to. But I'm going to tell you what: their pitching, their defense, and their bullpen is getting a lot better. And we talked about De La Cruz at shortstop struggled the other night. Boy, I'll tell you, day in and day out, he really puts up a pretty good performance, and I'll tell you what, walking him in the ninth inning was probably one of the best things the Brewers did all day.
This was a very well-managed game by Pat Murphy as well. You know, we can sit here from the cheap seats sometimes and make it easy to sound like, oh, I wouldn't have done that move. Why'd you bring in that guy? I thought this was an expertly managed game by Pat Murphy. We'll break all of that down as well. But I think the number one stat, I mean, there were amazing plays and amazing moments. The number one stat that jumped out to me about this game, today was the 20th come-from-behind win for the Brewers this season. That is tied for the most in Major League Baseball. Like, this is, I know last year's team wasn't really a comeback team, and neither was 2021's team, the what-if team, right? That team didn't have Devin Williams available, obviously, in the postseason. You didn't quite have the offense you expected in the postseason, and then they obviously got bounced by the Braves, who ended up winning the World Series. That team had that comeback edge, and it was all led by Willie Adames, a three-run homer, turning the game on its head when they got to the bullpen. I think that there is an identity forming from this team, and yes, there are concerns about this offense. Why can't it be a little more consistent, given it should be? Nonetheless, guys like Willie, guys like Yelly, the leaders of this team, are still the pillars, as Pat Murphy calls them, to show the rookies how it's done. And, of course, their hands were all over this win today.
Yeah, it is. And I agree with you totally. I think when you look at this ball club, they find ways to win. And I think the one that when you see a ball club that's trying to find themselves in one part of their ball game. Now, we know that the Brewers pitching staff, they've got had 12 or 13 starters so far this year. And really, they've really had to work hard at their, got some injuries. And until they get healthy, it's going to be a little bit of come to the ballpark and see who's going to pitch that night, because Koenig is probably going to start half the games they got, but pitch one inning. But they're doing things. They're going out and doing things the right way. Yesterday, what did we do? We needed Bryce Wilson to pitch well. Stepped up, did a great job. Their pitching is doing good. Their bullpen, they're not just seven deep in this bullpen. They're probably 15 deep with all the guys they got in the bullpen mm-hmm. that can come up and do good. But I think the one thing that, and I think you'll agree with me, when you see teams that win and have an opportunity to go to the playoffs and are in contention, what do you have to do against those clubs? You have to play 27 outs. They'll find a way, some way, shape, or form, and that's what the Brewers have done. You talk about the come-from-behind wins. Those always don't happen in the fourth or fifth inning. They happen later in the ballgame when they come up with big base hits, getting on base, young kids stealing bases. They run the bases with reckless abandon. This is a ball club that's still trying to find themselves in some ways, but I think at the same time, you better play 27 outs because that's what they're bringing to the ballpark.
So let's just break down two innings here. Let's break down the bottom of the fifth inning and then that chaos bottom or top of the ninth inning for the Reds. So the bottom of the fifth, Brewers are down three, or excuse me, bottom of the sixth, I beg your pardon. The Brewers are down 3-1 at this point. Frankie Montas is going his third time through the order right now. In a leadoff single with two strikes on him, mind you, William Contreras pulls a single into left field. And I thought the at-bat of the game was Christian Yelich, a nine-pitch battle, drawing a walk, wearing out Montas. That put runners on first and second with nobody out. It's the third time through. You got to go get somebody. And that was the moment that the Brewers like, all right, leverage is back over into that dugout, and lo and behold, Willie goes yard with the three-run homer. What did you make of that inning?
I agree with you. I thought when Contreras started out, got on base. He is so good in that spot of getting on base and starting stuff for the Brewers. But I thought Christian Yelich at bat was phenomenal. Nine pitch at bat. We always talk about, yeah, he hasn't hit the home runs, but it's all the other things that he does. And today, he did it in a couple different ways. Got the hit. Yeah, but the bunt. What a great idea to bunt in that situation. But that walk at that time, I thought Montes made some really good pitches game, and he fought him off. And that's what we're seeing out of Christian Yelich, especially this year, a little bit more than last year, a little bit more patient at the plate, being willing to go up there and say, I'm going to take what you give me, and I'm going to give you the best at-bat that I can. I thought that at-bat was a changing part of the whole ballgame.
I mean, he had two strikes multiple times today. He saw 20 pitches against Montas and three at-bats. That was super impressive for him. And for Willie, to do it again, right? When you're a reliever coming into the game in that situation, right, inheriting two runners on, the common logic is, I'm going to throw my best secondary pitch. You know, the thought is, there's no way this guy's swinging at this first pitch. There's no way with first and second, nobody out, this guy's going to be this aggressive to swing at a first pitch when generally swinging at a slider, swinging at a breaking ball would result in a ground ball, perhaps, and it's a double play, and something about the scouting report, or maybe Willie was ready for it. Someone's approach was ready for that moment, and Willie got the slider, and man, that was some next-level major league hitting by Willie.
You know, some of the things that they talk about, Dom, in the game of baseball, and when you're a manager, I remember coaching over at UWM, and some of the things we used with our hitters late in the ballgame. When you get a situation, when you got a pressure on another team, and they bring in a reliever, 9 times out of 10, when that reliever comes in, and there's a potential to score with a runner in scoring position, it's going to be soft early, hard late. That's the way they pitch. I'm going to throw you something off speed early, like you just said, and then I'm going to try to get ahead, and then I'm going to power you with a fastball in good spots. And I think what happened right there, Sims came in and he said, you know what? I know what Willy Adames can do. He can hit that fastball. He can hit it out to right center. He can hit it out to left center. If I make it in the middle of plate, he's going to hurt me. He tried to throw that slider. Didn't get it where he wanted it. And I'm going to tell you, Willy put a really good swing on it. And it's always that three-run homer. We had it yesterday, and we got it again today. A big part of the ballgame.
I think the three-run homer was massive. The squeeze bunt was massive. And the seventh, we'll talk about that later. But then the top of the ninth. Willie, you know, as much as we're loving him for the home run, he makes a rare error. I mean, that was only his fourth error of the whole season. He's played virtually every inning at short. Very rare for him to make that weird of a mistake. So now the tying runs in scoring position, the go-ahead runs at the plate. They get Friedel to pop out. And this was the moment of chaos, and I'll give credit to Bill Schroeder here. Bill Schroeder, as I sit over in the TV booth during the game, Bill Schroeder, between innings, when they had ran for Candelario with Herbies earlier in the game, I mean, you're taking out your hottest hitter.
That's
how
right.
can you do that?
That's
Bill
right.
Schroeder
I
called
agree.
It. And then, boom, they intentionally walk Ellie, knowing that Candelario is out of the game. They're bringing in a rookie, Espinal. He ultimately gets a single.
That's right.
But I'm sure the Reds would have loved to have had Candelario in that moment. And then, obviously, Perkins. Holy cow. Redemption arc, throwing a 92-mile-an-hour strike to the plate. Contreras wears it on the run from Fairchild. Totally clean play. No problem with that whatsoever. Kind of like Tommy Pham a couple of weeks ago. Man, I'm so happy for Blake Perkins. I'm happy for McGill. I'm happy for the Brewers. I'm happy for Blake Perkins after how dejected he was on Friday.
You know, that inning started out. Let's start with Adames with the ground ball. The one thing that Willy Adames is, fundamentally, he's so darn good. He's got that great arm, but his footwork and his fundamentals are so solid. That at-bat, I don't know why he did it. It just looked he got a little quick. It looked like the ball thing where he makes that double pump and throws that nice, crisp fastball across the field. He got a little quick with him, and the ball came out, and it kind of shot out of it. As soon as the ball threw it, I was sitting over in the press box. I said, air. I said it right away because he just got too quick and tried to be too fast with it. And that happens, and he understands it. He knows it. He patted his chest. He knew he did. He made the mistake. But how about Blake Perkins? When you saw that ball was hit, Blake knew that he couldn't get there. He couldn't get to even make a diving catch. What does he do? Does he speed up to get the ball? No. He's got it timed perfectly, staying back, being patient, letting the ball come to him, and then come up and make a nice, crisp throw. Did he overthrow it? No. He just got up and said, I'm going to go be patient. I'm going to follow through like I'm supposed to do as a good outfielder and make a good throw, and it was spot on. And I thought the picture of the game was William Contreras when the guy stood his slid in the home plate. Mm-hmm. He looked at William Contreras, and there is Willie smiling. What a great play, and we saw it the other night with Stevenson. I'm going to tell you, Contreras did the same thing today.
That was awesome. I just loved every minute of it. This was a baseball junkie's paradise today. I mean, this had everything. If you're an SNL fan, this was the Stephon. This club has everything. This game had everything. We haven't even talked about Ellie De La Cruz. We'll talk about him. We'll talk about Colin Ray, who was the winning pitcher again today. And once again, he's getting just totally ignored about everything else that happened today.
You're right.
855-616-1620 is the phone number. 855-616-1620. Willie does it again. Is there a better clutch hitter in the game? I say no, and he better be an all-star or it's a crime. He is a winner. That one is from Doug in Baraboo. Also, game-changing at-bat was also the Yelich walk to Chase Montas. I agree with that. That one came from the 970 area code. Josh in Milwaukee, it was far from easy, but the Brewers earned a series win against a tough Reds club. Despite some frustrating miscues, the team found ways to pick each other up. Some clutch contributions. I'm running out of superlatives for Perkins. Talk about some redemption after his mistake on Friday. Let's talk about it with you. 855-616-1620. Right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers win. They take the series. They have won both series this season against the Reds. I'm Dominic Catronio. Today's final 5-4. They're now 42-29. Back to matching their high watermark of 13 games above 500. With Jerry Augustine, I'm Dominic Catronio. We got to talk about Colin Ray. And we got to talk about Ellie De La Cruz. Because both of those two kind of go hand in hand here. Because, in my opinion, there are only two mistakes that Colin Ray made today. The home run to Spencer Steer and trying to pick off Ellie De La Cruz with two strikes and two outs to Jamer Candelario. Otherwise, I thought this was a nearly flawless day from Colin Ray. I'm fine with the triple and the sacrifice fly in the first inning. It's Ellie. He's electric. A-OK. No one's perfect. But, I mean, you live with a solo homer, no big deal. If I had hair, man, I'd be pulling it out after what I saw there in the third inning. But that's what Ellie De La Cruz does to you. He gets in your head. He makes you make mistakes. Pressure creates diamonds, and shoot, Ellie De La Cruz is looking like quite the diamond. I still think, though, Colin Ray continues to be the unsung starting pitcher, most important pitcher on this staff.
Well, I think, first of all, when talking about De La Cruz, he's one of those guys, he's a game changer. There's no question about it. When he gets on base, he causes so many problems for you. And, you know, I think as he goes along, he's still young, making understanding the game and learning how to slow it down, learning how to play in some positions. We saw the other day, made a couple errors because he got a little bit too quick. But he's just got an abundance of talent. And what he does, you have to expect it because he's just going to go and do it. He's that good. But I agree with you. I think that there's an unsung hero in this on this ball club, and a guy who goes out and is Mr. Steady Eddie out on that mound, it's got to be Colin Ray. He goes out each and every time. He pitches to the outside part of plate, inside part of plate. You very seldom see him make a mistake in the middle of plate. Steer, I think he made a little bit of a mistake there with that pitch. But other than that, once in a while, making a bad pitch is not bad. He has the great ability to understand, get in the game, and understand what is working well for him in that game. Some days it's going to be the fastball, and he's going to locate it in all four quadrants and get in good spots. But that other time, it's going to be the off-speed stuff. He knows how to go out there, see what he has, and be able to adapt to that. That's a special way. Not all pitchers can do that. And when you can go out there and say, hey, you know what, I'm not going to take out what I do best each and every time, and that's going to make me. I'm going to go out there and find out what I do best that day, and I'm going to build on that. And he does that great ability to do that.
I look at Colin. He now leads the team in innings pitched just by two outs over Freddy Peralta. His ERA is a little more than a run better than Freddy's. He has half the strikeouts than Freddy, and he's got more hits allowed, but he just makes it work. It's not sexy. He doesn't pump his fists. He doesn't have the darling metrics like you look at behind the scenes. The dude's a pitcher, and it sounds like a classic radio cliche, like, oh, come on, he's a pitcher and a thrower, right? Like, no, this dude is a pitcher. He is a throwback, and also, one in hand and the other hand, they work together in that he is better because of this great defense, too. And when he trusts his stuff, and when he's able to be trusted to go a third time through the order like he was today, he got to face Ellie three times. He got to face Candelario three times. What did he do in those third times against him? He struck both of them out. That is the sign of a guy that's got tools in his bag, that has weapons, and should be trusted even more. I think Colin Ray continues to earn a longer and longer leash each time.
I think the one thing that he does is when you look at a pitcher who is successful in the major leagues is coming out with your philosophy and what you want to accomplish. I think Ray goes out there each and every game and he says, I don't want to throw any more than four pitches to any hitter. I'm going to make him hit that pitch. But if I get to that situation, I've got things to fall back on. And I think that one thing he does, he goes out there and he goes, well, you're a hitter going up there. How do you face a Colin Ray? You can't go out and say, oh, he's a fastball guy. Here's your slider. Here's going to throw me up and in here, because he's going to change it. He's going to go with what's making him pitch that well that game. And I think he does an excellent job. He must really study hitters, have a great plan going in, because you'll see him adapt to certain players or certain hitters and make the pitches that he has to make. But he's got a philosophy that he uses, and that philosophy is, I'm going to take what I do best that day, and I'm going to make it the best I can, and my secondary pitches will come along. Although, we've seen him in games go out there where he didn't have the good stuff. How does he make it work? He builds around it. He stays with it. He says, oh, okay, I don't have the good breaking ball today. I'm going to stick with it because it's going to come sooner or later, because he's got that confidence. So I think if there is an unsung hero on this ball club, there's no question. Ever since they got this young man, he has been nothing but positive and done a great job for him, and constantly goes out each and every time he keeps in the ballgame.
How about this stat for you? He throws six pitches, okay? He
That's
throws
right.
a little bit of everything. He throws four-seam, cutter, sinker. He's got three different types of fastballs, a splitter, a curveball, and the sweeping slider. So six different pitches. He got a strikeout on five of them, right? He's using everything. And you just can't, like you were saying, you can't go up there with a game plan against him. He got Candelario twice. He got him hit a sac fly. Obviously the walk, and I was just shocked that they would not attack Candelario. If Ellie De La Cruz steals second and third, so be it. There's two outs and two strikes on Candelario, and you're already trailing at that point. Go after Candelario. Ray knows that. The Brewers know that, but I'm not going to overreact to it. Nonetheless, man, that was just another example of why Colin Ray is so valuable to this team. His next start will be against the Padres, his original organization in San Diego. And quite frankly, the Brewers are going to have to expect another win out of him, because he continues to do the Colin Ray special. Six innings, quality start, ho-hum, get ready for the next one.
You know, it's so funny. I wonder, I know, Dom, have you ever seen the little thing that they wear on? They press
the pitch comp.
Is there six pitches on it?
I mean, he's got like nine buttons. It's like a keypad, right? So you gotta hit combined buttons.
Plus one is six, or whatever you got it. But I think the one thing that has really been really good for Colin Ray is his ability to go and being understood by the catchers that catch him. And I think that one thing that Contreras has done, he's learned. He might throw a certain pitch, a cutter or a slider, might be along the basic lines or whatever which way, other pitch you want to call it. He has the ability to say, I'm going to adapt it. If he calls a slider, Contreras knows that, hey, he might go sweep it, or he might go short, but he's going to go to a spot. All I got to do is give him the good spot, and I know he's going to throw it there. His pinpoint control and his ability to use all six pitches in the spots that he wants to is his success. And I think that goes along with him. Not only Colin Ray on that mound understanding what he has to do, but that guy behind the plate saying, I know what you're going to do, and I know how to do it, and I know what pitches to count in certain, to call in certain situations.
I agree. Let's get to a couple of texts and a phone call as well, 855-616-1620. Injury update on William Contreras. He is being evaluated for a concussion right now, so we'll await on the update on that. Probably won't come until tomorrow in Anaheim on those results. This text coming in, that's how a great manager manages a team. He makes you win and makes everybody better. Just take a look at the Cubs right now. That's their manager. They lost again today, by the way. We had now look at where we are when we weren't supposed to be anywhere. Pat Murphy deserves a lot of credit. And like I said, this is a well-managed game by him. You played it by the book. You wanted to put Ellie on the right side. Ellie hit a home run. Whatever. You did the right thing. I would do that 1,000 times out of 1,000. Bring in the lefty to face Ellie De La Cruz, a switch hitter. How about Jared Koenig? We haven't said his name yet. He comes in with first and second, facing with one out, facing 9-1-2, pinch hitter batting right, and then Friedel. He gets both of them out, then has to face Ellie, and Ellie hits a solo homer. And how big does that squeeze look? But Jared Koenig, where would this team be without Jared Koenig?
He's consistent. He goes out there and each every time. And I remember back, it was about a month ago, weren't you already talking, saying, you know, he's here. How is he used? He's been successful. Yeah, he's getting wins. He's got one, that guy out of the bullpen that, you know, you put him in and game's tight and the team scores runs and he wins ball games. But you know what? Even more than that, how you've been able to use him. And I think ever since we started talking about him, he's been acknowledged a little bit more as far as we see what he does, and what he does is very well. And he goes out there and he compliments himself. You talked the other night about him having not just a 92, 93 mile an hour fastball. We heard 94, 95, and 96 today. And that when he goes out there, he commands, he understands what he has to do, and he's got a job to do, and he goes out and he does it. But again, I think when you talk about this ball club, you got to go back and say, how did they want to build this ball club? And I tell you, Matt Arnold says, what do I want to do? I want to build balance. And how did they build that balance? Three lefties in the bullpen, and all three lefties are pretty darn good.
Really darn good. Let's get to Colin in Delafield. You've been waiting on the line. Colin, you're live here on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Better now after a win.
Man, I continue to love this team. You know, we've talked before. We definitely need some pitching. We might need some pieces to go further. Here's the bigger question, and this one pains me to ask you. So I've had this conversation with my buddy. Like, Adames is gone at the end of the year, it seems. We've offered contracts. We can't seem to get them signed. You know, we saw what happened with Josh Hader, you know, and it was just demoralizing for the team. Are we okay with then keeping Adames to not demoralize the team, maybe bring in a couple pitchers, hopefully a couple of these guys from the White Sox or, you know, wherever, and keep them and just get compensatory picks? Or are we better off trading them to get something bigger? Question for
right. I think it's a fair question. It's something we're going to deal with from now until July 30th because the Brewers have already done it once, right? That's why people are skittish about this. Personally, if I'm trading Willy Adames, good gosh, it better be some big league pitching coming back. And quite frankly, as I sit here and say that out loud, no, I'm not trading Willy Adames. That is waving a white flag, in my opinion. Willy Adames helped win this game for you today. He made other great defensive plays that don't necessarily make the box score, even yesterday with the double plays and things like that. I mean, it's just too much value that isn't in any stat sheet or spreadsheet that you can find for Willy Adames. Yes, there's a compensation pick that you would get with him when he inevitably signs somewhere else. And furthermore, it's not going to be a prospect pick, right? Trading Willy would go to a contending team. It would go to a Dodgers or go to a Giants for somebody who wants him as a rental. And they aren't trading high-quality pitching to get him. So, no, I'm not trading Willy Adames, but yes, you might need to give up something else pretty in your stable, a high-leverage arm or maybe a high-level pitching or hitting prospect to go get some pitching now. That's the conundrum that Matt Arnold faces right now.
I think when you look at the Brewers right now, 13 games above 500 tells you the whole story. You tell them where they are in the division. There's nobody in this division that's playing as good as the Brewers are. And you got to look at this team and how it's built and what's done. We just went through a situation about 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, Dom, you'd be better at than I would, when there's a young man that they have is going to be a superstar that they gave $85 million to that made a mistake in the outfield. Who was one of the guys that he was talking to? Willie Adames. Willie Adames, day in and day out, is a game. He's the type of guy that every team needs to have a Willie Adames. And when you have a Willie Adames on your team, you're a better baseball team. Those are guys that are invaluable. And I don't think they would trade him. I think they have an opportunity to do things special. I think from now until All-Star break is going to be really tell you a lot more. Or until the trading deadline at the end of the month is going to tell you a lot more. But his value, like you just said, Dom, has a lot more to do than what he does at shortstop.
I agree.
His value with the team of hitting the big home run today and just his attitude and the way he goes and plays. I'm going to tell you, these young players are playing better because of the way Willie Adames plays. And that I think that's a big part of this ball club. He's a leader, and I think you don't want to disrupt any of those young players in their development.
I agree entirely. Up against the break here, got to take it. I also want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. Its commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. 855-616-1620. A lot of texts in here I got to get to. Again, 855-616-1620. One more with Augie after this on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers win 5-4. They win the series over the Reds, and they begin in big old West Coast trip here. 7 games in 7 days. 3 with the Angels, 4 with the Padres. Padres are playing better ball, and they're a little hurt right now, a little dinged up, but two teams the Brewers, quite frankly, should be beating. And they've already seen the Padres once. This will be their only chance to see the Angels this week. With Jerry Augustine, I'm Dom Catronio. Couple of texts that have rolled in here as well. Half of their wins this year, almost half, have been comebacks. Amazing. They never give up mentality is so fun to watch. That one from Tom in South Dakota. Did you see Willie wink at De La Cruz as he was rounding the bases? I did not see this. I need to go back and check that. That one from Uncle Miley up in Manitowoc. And then Willie's one of the few guys that could do that. I agree there, Uncle Miley. What a great series overall, Dom. Player of the game is Willie Adames. Difference-making moment might have been the intentional walk to Ellie. Colin Ray was solid again. Is he our best starting pitcher on the moment? Not a question. Yes, he is. And I will take 3-for-10 with runners in scoring position and another season-high 13 games over 500. Other text here, this one from Mike in Oak Creek. Thoughts on Bowers being the odd man out when Mitchell returns? Too early to tell, but he's been struggling. It's certainly a possibility, given Mitchell's left-handed your left-handed bat, and I wouldn't expect all the lefties to be in there. If Hossen's going to be at first, you could put Mitchell in there. And it's a tough question. I don't want to speculate on guys getting off the roster that are currently on the roster, but maybe you option an outfielder. Maybe it's an unpopular decision there. There is a big decision looming when Garrett Mitchell does return. And let me just address this one text, Augie. Why don't the Brewers sign Trevor Bauer? They won't do it. They're not going to do it. They would have already done it. They're not going to do it. I'm sorry if this is your first time listening. I've been saying this since the end of April. They're not going to do it. So quit asking me. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. It might be their first time listening. Seriously, it would have happened for the Brewers. It would have happened for 29 other teams. It's not happening. But that being said, Jacob Junis is due back on this road trip. Devin Williams could be back by the end of the first half. He's been throwing an aggressive long toss program. We've seen him out here on the field. I know it's not the sexiest thing to say, like, oh, that's your trade deadline acquisition, getting Jacob Junis and Devin Williams. I mean, you missed Devin Williams a little bit there in the ninth inning these last 2 days. I know McGill got the job done, but McGill knows he's a placeholder for Devin Williams.
It's going to put McGill at a better spot. You know, I think when Devin comes back, and we've talked about it, most ball clubs, when you win, you have that guy that sets you up in that eighth inning, and I think Miguel Piams can do it. We all understand that, and the way Hudson is throwing the ball, he could be another guy that could do that. But you usually have a guy you go to in that eighth inning. I think what McGill is learning now, and he struggled a little bit the last couple times out, where you got guys in – in scoring position and was able to give up a run or two. But I'm going to tell you, he's learning from that. And that setup guy is so important when you get to that eighth inning. You know you can go to that guy or go to a couple guys and then to go to Devin Williams. I think it's going to play dividends. The biggest team with the biggest thing with this ball club is that it's a little word that everybody looks at. It's called health. Mm. And health is so important. When they get healthy, this team is just where you want it. And, and that's, again, a credit to what Matt Arnold is trying to do with this ball club, create balance in everything, every position, every area of this ball club, an organization that you can have. He's done a great job at it, and it's really starting to pay off. And I'll tell you, they get healthy with the pitching side of it. They're going to be just fine.
I agree. Also, real quick, let's go down the box score here before we get you out of here. I'm looking at two stolen bases for Bryce Turang, and of course he scored on the squeeze bunt by Christian Yelich. William Contreras had a pair of hits today. Yelly had the squeeze. Adamas had the homer. Joey Ortiz, another double today and a walk. Sal Frelick had a multi-hit game. Churio had an RBI. Perkins had a walk, and then the clutch plays in the outfield. I just see, again, like I said at the top, just about everybody did something today. And I know Bowers is scuffling. He made some nice plays at first base today, too. If the bat's not there, the glove can be. And I just look at it, man. They're not going to get worse when Garrett Mitchell comes back. They're not going to get worse when Devin Williams comes back. They're not going to get worse when Jacob Junis comes back. This is the team. This is who they are. This is going to be fun.
I agree. I think when you look at it, and it's a credit to this organization, it's a credit what Murph did with this ball club in spring training, kind of a carryover. What they have been doing in the past is getting as much playing time for the young players to see what they can do not only in the minors so much, but in spring training. Everybody gets that look. And when you come to the majors, it's not about coming up and stepping in and having to do a plus job. It's about going out and doing who you are, slowing the game down, do what you do best, and see what you can contribute each and every time out there. We always go, there's no I in team. There isn't. There's a me. But that me in team helps everybody else get better. And this club is starting to do that with the young players, the veteran players, and this pitching staff. And I think this pitching staff is just outstanding, even though they've had the injuries that they've had. They've really stepped up and done a great job.
I can't get over the Blake Perkins, just the redemption. I just thought that was a beautiful thing. And it's so rare for a player to have so much honesty with the media with us on Friday night. He just said, you know what? I let the moment get too big for me. I don't think I was ready for the moment. And sometimes, like, when you're the hitter, it feels like you can sense it coming and you feel this sort of tension and this anxiety. Like, oh, man, am I ready? Am I going to be the guy? Am I going to do this? And then the bunt happens and the mistake and everyone wants to come for his neck. But then today, you don't get to choose when the moment comes to you when you're in the outfield. But quite frankly, what's the one thing you're supposed to tell every coach, every little leaguer should be listening to this. When you're on defense, always expect the ball to come to you. That's you don't right. get to choose when the moment's coming to you. The moment came to Blake Perkins, and his glove is his best tool. What did he do? He laid back, played it perfectly, like you said, threw a strike to the plate, airmailed the mound, got it to William, and quite frankly, that play was impressive in the throw. I thought the liner by India in the previous inning, the one that was right at him, that's a harder play to make than the one he made the end of the game.
I agree. You know, let's take it back. Don't you believe that what happened the other night when he tried to bunt played a role in today's ball game?
100%.
100%. He made that throw today that got them a win, got them a win late in the ball game. Because why? What he did the other night said, I was too big for the ball game. I have to be patient. I have to understand the situation. I have to go and try to execute that situation, help this ball club win. What did he do today? Patience, letting the ball come to him, making sure that he didn't rush it. 9 times out of 10, if he maybe didn't do that the other night, he might have rushed that a little bit and tried to throw the ball too hard. You looked at him, it was a nice, casual, pick it up, make a good throw, and get the guy out, and that's what he did today. I think when you look at the game of baseball, if you make a mistake and you learn from that mistake, it's always going to be positive for Blake Perkins that came through for him today.
That was just the beauty of baseball, man.
It is.
You're going to come back up. You're going to go make a play on defense. You're going to have a chance to impact the game in some way, shape, or form. What a night. Brewers get the victory. They win the series. And just like overall, we talked about this at the start. The Reds are a really good team. But the Brewers, they have not lost a series. They have split a series to the Pirates. But they have not lost a series to a divisional opponent this year. That adds up. And that continues to stack and to stack and to stack. And the Brewers aren't going to face a divisional opponent again until the Cubs come to town here on the next homestand. And they have a chance to flatten them again, too. And it's just like, you keep stacking these up. This is your division now. And quite frankly, at 13 games over and the only team over 500, this is their division.
It sure is. And I tell you, they're playing baseball the way it is. And, you know, we've talked so many times, and it used to be, with the way the schedule is now, it's not as it was in the past. But the way the schedule is, you play a lot of games in that division. You have to play well in your division. And the Brewers have, like you just said, they've tied one. Other than that, they've won them all. They did it in this series. This was a big series for them to win this series, to go on the road and not play anybody until they come back and play the Cubs. So they did a great job. And winning this game, these two out of three games, I'll tell you, close ball games, fun games, and I'll tell you, good for the Brewers.
If you don't love that, you don't love Major League Baseball. I tell you what.
Absolutely true.
That was some great stuff. Jerry Augustine joining us. I know you've had a busy weekend, my friend. We'll talk to you soon. Appreciate you as always. And happy Father's Day, my friend.
It's happy Father's Day. And I'll tell you what. I'm a grandfather. And I'm going to tell you what. They say grandfathers, when you're a father, it's so special. Wait till you're a grandfather. It's double special. So happy Father's Day. Happy Grandfather's Day to all the guys out there. It's a great day. But I'll tell you what. Coming to the ballpark today, having some fun and watching the Brewers win, pretty good day, too.
You've seen a lot of wins over your years.
Oh, so it's special out here. It certainly is.
Something special about holidays and the Brewers here at home. So, Jerry Augustine joining us. We appreciate him. I got some more texts to get to. 855-616-1620. Stay with us on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
You're listening to Brewers Extra Innings, presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dominic Catronio. Whew. I'm still like coming down from that game. That was incredible. What a game. Few texts here. Matt in Watertown. Make a move for Jesus Luzardo from the Marlins. He has struggled this year, and his trade value isn't as high as it should be. He has not struggled. He's been fantastic. There's been a couple blips, but that's also because he's on a bad team. Our coach is in a change of scenery. Could be right his pitching quickly. I agree. I think I've said it since the beginning of the season. Jesus Luzardo is the top of my wish list. Because of the extra years of control on that too, which also means the price is higher. So, as I said on Thursday's Brewers Weekly, it takes two to tango. There could be offers already out there that have been rejected. And it's business, baby. You know, you just kind of go back and forth and see what you can work as well. This one in Oshkosh, listening to the radio, and I think that Adama's three-run homer certainly saved a game. I mean, it turned the game upside down. They were down 3-1, then they were up 4-3. It was incredible. This one, greetings. The season Adama's is putting up is better numbers that he has this year than in past couple of years. Coincidentally, it's a contract year. What does this mean as far as trade value versus retention? Look, okay, I already took one call to this. Now we're getting another text about it. I know I'm going to get a lot more texts about it the rest of the year. So I'm going to stand on my soapbox here for a second and rant. Willie Adames has hit a three-run homer. He makes incredible plays. He is mentoring your rookies. He is doing incredible things in the community. The whole clubhouse loves him. The coaching staff loves him. The fans love him. He is an electric personality. And here we are after an epic 5-4 win, winning a series against a rival, having a great Father's Day weekend at home. When are we going to trade him? Shut up and enjoy things. I'm sorry. I'm sick of it. He's on the team. Enjoy it. This is incredible. I understand everyone is feeling a little bit shell-shocked after the Hader trade in 2022. And it bore fruit. Look, in hindsight now, it's like, okay, that sucked in the moment, and they lost the division because of it, you could argue. And quite frankly, the same thing would happen again if they traded Willie Adames this year. I could see them spiraling without their clubhouse leader. I think it would be a little bit easier, though, since they have Brandon Woodruff and they have Wade Miley around. But man, I'm sick of it. He's doing great. Let's enjoy it. I cannot wait to interview him at 4:01 p.m. July 30th when he is still a Brewer. And just give him a hug and say, you made it, exhale, let's go play ball. Because I bet this next month and a half is going to be stressful as hell for him. Because we keep having this conversation. I would not trade him. I would not. I know the Brewers do not want to trade him. I just don't see the point of wasting energy on even entertaining this conversation. What's going to happen is it's okay to let it ride. Okay, I promise you, you're a first-place team. It's okay to let it ride. What you will do is you will give Willie what's called the qualifying offer, which is basically an average of the top 100 contracts in baseball. And it said, hey, 1 year qualifying offer. You have met the qualifications as a free agent. We are a small market team. We can't afford you on the open market, but here's $19 million for 1 year. Take it or leave it. If you leave it and you go sign for a bigger deal elsewhere, the Brewers get a compensation draft pick. They get a pick in the first 60 picks of the draft or 68 picks of the draft, whatever it may be. And they have talent in the scouting department, in the player development side. They feel that is very valuable. That's what they got back for Corbin Burns this coming year. That, to me, I don't see a deal while you're in first place that is going to surpass essentially a one-and-a-half rounder, right? A first and a, between a first and second round pick. I just don't see it. For a rental, I really don't want to see Willie Adames get traded. And I know, I mean, no, I'm not even going to entertain the thought because I'm sick of talking about it after having an epic game. I'm sick of it. I truly am sick of it. Enjoy it. Right? People forget the moment of joy and how excited everybody was when Christian Yelich finally did the thing and the Brewers finally did the thing and they signed the extension to Yelly in 2020. Did we know the world was going to end a couple weeks later? No. And did we know that Yelly was going to kind of go into the gutter for a couple of seasons? No. But Yelly's looking good right now. The Brewers don't get any praise for that. The Brewers got killed for the prospect capital they traded in that one. They're all gone now. They're not in the Marlins organization. The Brewers know what they're doing. If the Brewers trade Willy Adames, it would be some exorbitant return. They know that. That is the price of Willy Adames. That's why I think they're not going to do it, because no one can match what they need out of him. Nobody can. There's no reason to trade Willy Adames for Garrett Crochet, because the White Sox have no reason to get Willy Adames. On a walk year, the Marlins have no reason to get Willy Adames. Right? It doesn't work like that. So just let's all enjoy the moment, man. The dude had an epic game. The dude's going to be a Brewer, I hope, for the rest of the season. So let's just end it there. So this is going to be a fun one for the crew. We're going to hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, coming up next. We also got some thoughts on the... We got some highlights coming up and some... I got to correct myself as well. Of course, the Brewers lost the opening series against the Cubs down at Wrigley. I want to backtrack on that. I messed that up. Texter brought that up. Appreciate that. Brewers had lost that series because, quite frankly, they played better than the Cubs in that series. In my mind, I thought they had won the series. But you're right. They have lost one series in the Central Division to the Cubs at Wrigley. Then they won it here 3 out of 4, and then they see them again here at the end of the month. So, still impressive. Only one series loss against your division. They're the only team above 500 against their own division. Pat Murphy coming up next on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Welcome back. I'm Dominic Catronio. Brewers win. What a game. What a game indeed. I want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you in part by Sauter Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Thunderstorms can happen at any time in Wisconsin, and as an authorized Generac dealer, Sauter Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical can save you up to $1,500 off a whole home generator. Visit Sauter.com today, S-E-I-D-E-R.com. Here's a little bit of Pat Murphy after a 5-4 win over the Reds here on WTMJ.
Oh, God. We got a lot to discuss. Let's begin. Not sure. Not sure. We got to get him checked out. I mean, when you get a head snap like that, you can be pretty sore. Trust me. In the heat of the moment, as tough as that kid is, make note, this kid catches every single day. Day game, night game, day game, doesn't matter. This kid wants to play. So that in and of itself is a rarity. But you take a hit like that, you're a sitting duck, and your head gets snapped. You know, who knows? Hopefully he doesn't have a concussion. Hopefully he's fine.
But not even in a mocking way, but are even remotely surprised that a guy like that just got up and walked around like, yep, all right. You know, he probably would have been ready to go back out there.
Yeah, he would have continued to play. You wouldn't have been able to get him out of the game. He's that way. But Perkins, who didn't want to be the hero the night before, was the hero.
Just looking at those last two plays that he made, because he made the catch to end the eighth as well.
Right.
Which one of those stood out to you more, the throw at the end or reading that line drive in the eighth too? Because that's probably a more challenging play.
A throw from center field on a soft hit ball is very tough.
because you have to, the ball doesn't give you any rhythm or energy going through it because it kind of dies, right? You got to create your energy, which takes a second. And to make a strike over the mound, blah, 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 in that clutch situation, that's a big time play. Big time play. The catch was fine, and Danny Sal's made two catches out there, one unnecessary dive, but he likes to do that. The other one was a great catch over his head. You know, but the story of the game, if you remember, our guys at the top, our four guys at the top, story of the game for me was Yelly taking the walk to get to Adamas. You know what I mean? I mean, that's a lot of big-time players that have won two MVPs or at least one and an asterisk on the second one, whatever. He should have won the second one. But when you're that player and you're the highest-paid player here and you take the walk to get to Adamas, who's been clutch all year and done that thing and get a new pitcher and hadn't thrown a pitch yet, and Adamas to be clutch enough to do it again, seems like it's once a week. That's just amazing. And that's what the game's about. Terang leading off, he had some tough calls on the edges that went against him, had some tough ABs to go in there against a guy who's rated as one of the top left on left as far as getting hits. And this kid hits a line drive up the middle, steals a base off a lefty, not easy, and then the rest happens, you know. And Yelly to then come back his next at bat. What do MVPs do? Do they bunt like that? No. And that just shows you how the breadth of his game. You know, you talk about veteran, you talk about winning player. That's incredible. So I look at those guys, Contreras with a couple hits and catching what he did three games in a row, or he's caught six in a row. But, you know, just think about it. Like, you know, that's the way we're not great. But that's the way you play championship ball. You know what I mean? We got thrown out first stolen base. What did we do? You know, Q kept them going. You know what I mean? We kept running. And that's just kind of like an attitude. And I think I'm talking too much. It's for you guys to have questions.
Yeah, I mean, he just kept going and going. And he's so much fun to listen to. And, man, I could sit and talk baseball with Murph because – when a game like this, there's so many things that you see and you talk about and you notice, and just makes a baseball junkie like him really excited. And I love talking ball with Murph, and he loves talking ball with us. So I'm really grateful to have him in the fold and wishing him a happy Father's Day and his family as well. How about some highlights? That's coming up next. You're on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get up!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Colin Ray starting against Frankie Montas. Rubber game of this series on Father's Day. And it did not start the Brewers' way. A triple from Ellie De La Cruz, then a sack fly from Candelario in the first. Then Cruz wreaking havoc on the bases in the third. He scored from second on an error from Colin Ray on a pickoff attempt. And then a solo homer from Spencer Steer in the fourth. It was 3-0 Reds, and the Brewers had only had one hit in the first four innings against Frankie Montas. But hey, that's why we play nine. It all started with a leadoff double from Joey Ortiz in the fifth. Sal Frelick singled as well and put men on the corners for Jackson Churio.
Jackson waiting, and the pitch. Big chopper hit to short. De La Cruz has it and throws out Jackson Churio on a nice play. But a run scores.
Bob Uecker's call, and the Brewers still really struggled with runners in scoring position to this point. They were just 4 for 54 on the homestand with runners in scoring position. But one thing that never has a bad day is the Brewers' defense. Sal Frelick got in on the party.
Swinging a liner into right center and caught with a diving grab by the speedster for the crew, Sal Frelick.
Sal Frelick. Just making another great play for him. And that sparked the Brewers in the bottom of the sixth inning. A leadoff single by William Contreras. A great nine-pitch walk by Christian Yelich. It chased Montas from the game. Brewers trailing 3-1. Two men on, nobody out. Right-hander Lucas Sims is on. facing Willie Adames.
Sims deals, swing and a drive to center and deep. Get up, get up, get out of here and gone. Willie Adames just hit a three-run shot out of here.
And turned the scoreboard upside down, and in doing so, he put Colin Ray in line for the win. He delivered a quality start yet again. In the seventh inning, though, stressful times for the Brewers. Two men reached against Nolly Paredes. He was lifted for Jared Koenig. He struck out Stuart Fairchild and got Friedel to ground out to leave two stranded. Brewers still leading 4-3. In the bottom of the seventh, a single by Bryce Terang. He stole second base, got to third on a bad throw from the catcher Luke Maley. Then, with men on third and one out, Christian Yelich up there to swing, right? Nope. Got you guessing.
4-3 Brewers. Infield still up. Maul kicks and throws home. Squaring to bunt. Lays it down. It's a beauty. They go home. They go to first. No outs anywhere. A base hit bunt for Christian Yelich to make it 5-3.
The squeeze works to perfection. Jeff Levering on the call. And man, that insurance run would be huge, because Ellie De La Cruz in the eighth would hit a right-handed home run, only his third of those this season, out of 12 on the year. That made it a one-run game. So it's 5-4. There was a chance the Brewers could avoid Ellie De La Cruz. He was due up fourth in the top of the ninth inning against Trevor McGill. Struck out Tyler Stevenson. Then Stuart Fairchild reached on an error on a throw from Willie Adames that got away from him. That meant they would have to face Ellie. But no, Friedel would pop out, so that meant they would intentionally walk Ellie De La Cruz and face Santiago Espinal, who had come in for defense and ended the game with some fireworks.
Trevor McGill swinging a pop-up. Shallow center, base hit. The throw coming home. It is going to be in time. They got him on a perfect throw from Perkins and Sutter. The out on the throw. 8-2 ends the game.
What a call from Mr. Baseball, Bob Uecker. And man, what a finish to this Father's Day Classic. The Brewers win 5-4. Blake Perkins comes through with the outfield assist, and the Brewers claim the series over the Reds. We'll preview the West Coast road trip and say goodnight after this on WTMJ.
I'm on top of the world, eh? I'm on top of the world, eh?
All right, get your coffee ready. Time for some late nights with the Brew Crew. Headed out west to the City of Angels. Anaheim is the first stop for the Brewers. I know they're the Los Angeles Angels, but they're the Anaheim Angels. I don't care what you say. Late night baseball. We're on the air at 8 o'clock. It's weird 8:38 start times. I don't know why Anaheim does it this way. But we're on the air at 8, nonetheless, for each of the next three nights. Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night, getting you ready for Brewers and Angels over the next 3 days. And I've got you after each of those games with Brewers extra innings. Trend continues in San Diego, 8:05 airtime, as it'll be an 8:40 first pitch on Thursday nights against the Padres. Same thing on Friday, 8:40 first pitch, 8:05 airtime. Then Saturday gets a little weird. It is going to be a little more normal, 6:15 first pitch, I beg your pardon. Because that game is going to be televised on Fox, but we got you here on WTMJ, don't worry. But I've got Brewers warm-up at 5 o'clock on Saturday, and then on Sunday I've got Brewers warm-up at 2, which will be a 3:10 first pitch. So a lot of late-night baseball. Hang out with us. I've got you all week long. West Coast, Best Coast, I'll be with you staying up late here in the Milwaukee area. Quick look around the out-of-town scoreboard as you get ready to say goodnight here. Again, the Cardinals beat the Cubs 2-1. They take that series. The Cardinals are back to 500 at 35-35. The Cubs now fall to four games under 500 at 34-38. And the other team in the division, the Pirates, they beat the Rockies today by an 8-2 final. That's going to do it for us. I made all of my Father's Day quips before the game today. I love you, Dad. I love you to all the fathers out there. Hope you guys had an incredible day. My thanks to Jerry Augustine and to our producer, Evan Witalison. I'm Dominic Catronio. Talk to you tomorrow. Keep on swinging.